45 more days and beyond. 45 more days to get someone in the White House who upholds our values, who reflects our aspirations, and who retains the idea that America should be for everyone. And beyond that, we have to build the kind of country that we want with the help of some people who are like-minded, but we cannot leave that responsibility to anybody else. One reason I'm so fired up and excited about Imam Webb's presentation is that for people who are still thinking that somehow voting is haram, and I had to deal with that myself, dear Imam, that they're being left with no excuses for getting involved. And I want to talk about that a little bit. But I want to really focus on 45 days and beyond. Impacts of 501c3, I'm not. I have my own opinions, and they do not necessarily reflect the views of Impact, its board of directors, or its sponsors. All right? I believe that you should support Barack Obama. I think. But that's the little part of this. That's the small part of what I want to say to you today. The main part of what I want to say to you today is that if you don't like watch lists, if you don't like our immigration policy, which is unfair and broken, if you don't like our relationship with the rest of the world, particularly the Muslim world, if you don't like those things, sitting on the sideline, turning your back and folding your arms is the thing that will allow those things to continue. But getting engaged, getting involved, running for office, helping people run for office, organizing in your community, these are the things that are going to make the change come about. And so if you don't like the conditions that we're in, staying on the sideline will perpetuate them. If you don't like the conditions that we're in, getting engaged will change them. Who's for change? Let me just tell you that in this election, Muslims are poised to play a historic role. What I mean is the Obama campaign cannot win unless they take Michigan, Ohio, or Pennsylvania. They need two out of the three. If they don't get it, they don't win. We get something else. What I'm telling you right now, however, is that Muslims in each of those states have the population to play a significant role in the elections in each of those states. And remember, we don't have national elections in America. I wish that we did. We have 50 different elections which send people to the Electoral College and then they vote for who's president. You knew that, right? So we've got to win in each of these states. We've got to win in Florida, Virginia. We've got to win in New York. We've got to win in Minnesota. So many states where the Muslim population made all the difference. I'm telling you that Jim Webb, any relation? Who knows? Would not be a U.S. senator today were it not for Muslims in Virginia who organized to put him there. Do you all know the story? Jim Webb won the election by a number of people that is a little bit less than the population of Muslims in that state who all went for Webb, who organized for Webb, who mobilized for Webb. You take them out of the equation, he is not the U.S. senator right now. That's a fact. Muslims in Virginia who have a political action committee, who are engaged, who know how to get on the go to the Hill and know how to go to the state capitol, got involved, made the difference in that state. But look at Michigan. You know that Detroit is probably where the largest collection of Muslims in the country are. And I know that there are other states that have a significant population. Perhaps even New York has more in raw numbers. But the Michigan Muslim population is an indispensable part of the political calculus there. I'm telling you that Muslims in Michigan can make the difference in that state, but also in Ohio. Columbus, Ohio, the second largest Somali population in the nation. The first is in Minnesota, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. Has the opportunity to make significant strides. Muslims in Ohio are mobilized and activated, not just in politics, but also in civic life. The 47 million Americans facing every day without health care insurance are getting their needs met in Dayton, Ohio, because Muslims started a free clinic there to meet those needs. That's worth an applause on your part. but also Florida. In Florida, Muslims came together and said, look, we're going to start an organization called the Center for Voter Advocacy. And they went out and they got a voter guide together, just like you did here. They got all these people signed up. They are controlling the Muslim vote. So many Muslims who don't ever enter the foot of the mosque, right? Don't step in. They said, we're gonna get those in the mosque, and we're going to go get those outside the mosque. And when it's time to vote, we are going to use the electronic media in order to mobilize that vote. Center for Voter Advocacy. But also Oklahoma. I was in Oklahoma the other day talking to some Muslims. And you know what? They have a dinner every year where if you want to be an elected official in Oklahoma, you must come to this dinner that is in Oklahoma City. I hope that in New York, you all begin to think about that kind of thing. Get the political, the elites and the political involved folks in New York coming to your dinner so that they can get your vote. Turn that calculation to the point where if they are running for office, they got to show up at this event that you all are throwing in New York. But not just there. I believe that there is a surging political movement of Muslims in the United States. I have been to Seattle, Northern California, Southern California, Las Vegas. You know, Muslims in Las Vegas, they might get extra points, boy, because they're in Sin City right there. But not just there, Oklahoma City, Texas, Houston, Dallas, all over, Chicago, huge Muslim community. Detroit, I mentioned already, Ohio, throughout Florida and New York, New Jersey. Muslims all over the country coming together to talk about how can we get involved in this thing to improve our condition? How can we get involved in this thing to improve our condition? Because we know that Allah is not going to change our condition until we do something to change our own condition. This is the kind of thing that we're hearing all over the nation. And so what I'm telling you is that you are part of a mass movement all over this country. You are part of a surging political force. And I believe that if we play the cards properly, within only a few short years, inshallah, the Muslim community will be a force to be reckoned with. Historically, our level of voter participation and political donating and all that has been somewhat lax. And I think there are essentially two reasons for it. If you look at the Muslim community, you have about two-thirds of the Muslim community that is either foreign-born or their parents were. You have about another third that's born here and has roots here. The part that's foreign-born or their parents were often came here fleeing some political mess in the country that they came from. So, you know, there is a tradition. Every immigrant group you mentioned, my wife's an immigrant. Her family's from Dominican Republic. She and when I met her, she was a Muslim. But let me just tell you, immigrants say, look, let's go make the money and get the education and leave the politics behind because politics is what got us here in America in the first place. We're sick of it. We don't want to mess with it. But if you look at the other third of the Muslim population, which is not all exclusively that African-American group, but is largely made up of that group, these folks come out of that NOI tradition, that Nation of Islam tradition, that said that the government was evil, that, you know, we don't like white people and all this kind of stuff, and that which is not Islam, by the way. And this group has been politically disengaged because of historic injustices that occurred in our own country. So you're dealing with two groups who are sour on politics to begin with. But that luxury has got to be dispensed with. We can't afford it in this day and time. Turning your back on the political scene is simply not an option. And if you are mad about watch lists and U.S. foreign policy, that is exactly why you should get engaged, why you must get engaged, why we have to do a whole series of things that I want to mention to you now that I think will lead the Muslim community in this election and into years to come, 45 days from now and beyond, into a position of political power. Now, you might think, oh, well, why are we trying to get power? We need power because power is the ability to control the circumstances around you. Power for what purpose? Power to create good in this world. Think about it. Imagine, if you will, an America which says that we believe that peace should be the guiding principle of our foreign policy. Can you imagine that? Can anybody imagine that? Come on, I know somebody can imagine that. Imagine, if you will, if we had an economic system which really focused on the common good, not the private gain of certain individuals who have already shown us that their ruthless, laissez-faire capitalism, deregulated system is running this whole economy into a ditch. What if we use the values which support our faith and our belief and our iman, and we share these ideas and values with our country, wouldn't our country be a better place for it? Wouldn't we be a better nation if we shared ideas that guide our lives with our nation? Not to impose Islam on them, but to share the values with them. Good values and good ideas have a contagious effect on people. And if you have these values that I'm talking about, and you stand up for these values, our country can be better, stronger for it. I believe that in today's economy, there's a good time to talk about the importance of Islamic finance. I think it's a good time to talk about it. If our financial system had the principles of Islamic finance at work, we maybe would not have some of these investment banks that were leveraged like 99% to one. We may not have a situation where people are just using this, have interest rates that are exorbitant on these credit cards, driving people into further economic ruin as they have stagnant wages and are essentially consuming based on debt, not based on savings. This is the time to start this conversation. It's a time to start this conversation to see what we can learn so that we can have a more stable economic system. Are the Muslims who are engaged in finance, banking, insurance, ready to say, you know what, I have a better idea, maybe we shouldn't do it the way we've been doing it, there is a better way to go forward so that the American middle class can stay stable and economically secure? Maybe our country has something that you have to offer. Have you ever thought about that? I'm talking about not just stopping Islamophobia, but going beyond that and being a public service and a benefit to the nation and therefore the world. Have we thought about that? So often our thinking is wrapped up in stopping ourselves from getting beat up by bigots. But what if we just look past them bigots and said, you know what, bigot, I'm going to do some good for you. I'm going to help your society be better than it was. So while you're busy disliking me, I'm busy trying to make a country that you can live in and grow in and prosper in and get some health care in. Think about that. Let me just say this. 45 days and beyond. No time to sit on the sidelines. I want you to know that Muslims all over this country are engaged in this election. As a matter of fact, there's a young man who is the head of the Obama campaign in Minnesota, in my district, the 5th Congressional District, who's a Muslim. Actually, yesterday, organized the iftar for it. A lot of folks showed up. And a good time was had by all, and all we did is just get people involved. Now, let me just say this as I move on to try to make the final point that I want to make. Beyond this, our country does have serious foreign policy challenges. We don't know exactly what kind of relationship we should have with Pakistan. As you know, things are getting hotter on the field every single day. In the region of the federally administered tribal areas and the northwest frontier, things are heating up every day. If Pakistani Americans could say, hey, look, we understand the situation, we even got family there, wouldn't that help inform our foreign policy in a much more intelligent way than we've been doing over the last several years? We need your involvement. How can we change and re-steer our foreign policy, remodel our foreign policy, unless Americans who care about America and the country their family comes from are engaged in it? We need you involved beyond the election. We need you involved before the election, too. Somalia. Let me tell you something. Minnesota has about 100,000 Somalis. Many of them were politically disengaged, as I said, is often the pattern with communities that are brand new to the United States. But you know what? We went into the malls, we went into the mosques, we went places, and we didn't tell people to vote for us. We told them to vote, period. And then when we got them outside of the mosque, we told them to vote for us. But my point is simply this. In my election, the tough part of it was not the general election. The general election was tough for other reasons. But the primary election was tough. I had a number of very well qualified opponents who were running against me, and the election had not got dirty from some quarters, but not necessarily from my opponents. And I had to work every single second to get every single vote. The thing that got us over the hump and gave us a 10-point margin of victory was the Somali community. There's no doubt about it. And I didn't go to them telling them, oh, I'm your Muslim brother, so vote for me. I went to them and said, I care about stability and human rights within Somalia. They said, now you're talking. I went to them and said, I believe in a fair immigration policy. Now you're talking. Muslim politicians should never pander to the Muslim community and say, vote for me just because I'm one of you. Do your values reflect my values? Do our values, are they shared? This is what we should be talking about, improving the lives and conditions of people. I pray that the Muslim community will be a progressive force for good in the United States. And I believe that if we go to people and talk to them about the needs that they have, they will mobilize and they will get engaged. I'm telling you that the Somali community that came out in my election can come out in this election and can turn the tide, as well as the Arab community, South Asian community, American born community, everybody. We need them fully on deck in this community. We need to have the imams not telling people who to vote for, but telling people to vote, just like Imam Webb said. There's no reason why you need to stay out. But we need to have the Muslim doctors saying, look, America has a healthcare crisis. What are we going to do about it? We have something to say about it. We need the Muslims who are in the financial community, like Dalia, to come forward and say, you know what? There are things we could do to avoid a crisis like this in the future. And some of them can be found in the Quran. These are the kind of things that we need. We need your public service. We need you to stand up and throw your shoulder to the wheel today. We need you to have a sense of higher purpose, not just worry about keeping people off your back, but worry about this nation and how this nation can prosper and grow if people who care about it are willing to get involved in it. I just told a good friend of mine, I haven't known him but no more than about 20 minutes, but he's a good friend of mine already, that we need to go to the places where those knuckleheads are and talk directly to them. See if they can explain why we should stand on the sideline, because I don't think that their arguments will stand up to much scrutiny. That's what we need to do. But we can't leave anybody on the sideline. We got to get everybody engaged. We got to get everybody involved. Let me tell you in the last few minutes what I'd like you to do. Is that all right? What I'd like you to do, number one, is in the state of New York, you absolutely, positively must have a Muslim Day on the Hill. You've got to go up to Albany at least once a year and talk to these state legislators. You cannot exist in the state of New York and not be on the minds of the people who represent you. Who will organize Muslim Day on the Hill in New York? We need somebody who will say, I will. I will. All right, give them a hand, you guys. And what we need to do is we have to have a meeting before that and develop some agenda, 3 or 4 items. One of them should be an explicitly Muslim thing. You may already have a halal law here. If you don't, maybe that could be it. But think of something that's going to benefit the Muslim community, because some of us are still operated on the principle of what's in it for me, right? But then let the other agenda items be things that are for the common good, that will benefit everybody. Make sure the things that you are on your agenda are things that reflect the needs of the diverse Muslim community. Make sure you have something about reentry on there. So many Muslims accepting Islam in prison who come out, and it's easy to be a Muslim in prison, you know. You get out, and it's a little tougher. Temptation everywhere. Create some reentry services so people can come in. And I know some of you guys have done quite well economically. You're living in these $5, $6, $7 million homes. And the idea of going down and talking to somebody who just got out of prison is repulsive to you, perhaps. But it'd be good for your soul to find, right? It'd be good for your soul to talk to somebody who's walked a tough path. Because everybody in this room has a story to tell. I was talking to an Afghani Muslim who had actually was a doctor and was doing quite well. He said, man, you want to talk about drug addiction in America? That ain't nothing. You want to hear about it in Kabul? It's worse. I'm telling you, we all have got to walk that path. We need somebody to organize Muslim Day on the Hill. We have a brother who's volunteered. I think everybody here should support his efforts. Don't keep it sectarian. Reach out to everybody. Reach out to the Shia. Reach out to the Ibadi. Reach out to the Ismaili. Reach out to everybody. Don't leave anybody out. absolutely got to be some sisters there. If there's no sisters there, they're at the front. Got to be at the front. Sisters got to be at the front. Right. Let me say that Impact is doing great work by bringing people on the Hill and doing political engagement. I put this challenge out not only to Impact, but to ISNA, to MAS, to ICNA, to everybody, all the groups. Don't have a national convention unless you have a session on running for office. Just don't do it. You've got to do it. People would run if they knew what to do. But, you know, they don't know what to do. We don't know anything. We know about politics, but we don't know about the mechanics of politics. We don't know about organizing a campaign committee. We don't know about fundraising. We don't know about how to get volunteers. We don't know how to develop our stump speech right. We need these kinds of sessions to get people running. And let me just tell you this. Anybody can run. One brother said to me, Brother Keith, you know I have an accent. You know, I can't run for office. You know, people won't vote for me. I said, man, Arnold Schwarzenegger has an accent. I'll be back. You can run. If they'll vote for him, they'll vote for you. There's a brother named MJ Khan. He is on the city council of Houston, and he speaks with a very clear ring of Pakistan. And he's a very good city council member and an honored public servant. Think about that. Don't count yourself out. Don't count yourself out. Don't think of reasons why you can't do it. Those over for that stuff. When we start getting these things, I already told you, you need to get that annual dinner, right? You need to get that together. It's going to be small. The first one's not going to be very good. But you keep on doing it, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, and then you've got an institution on your hands. Now you're creating a forum for the governor and the secretary of state to come to you, trying to court you. We've got to create this situation. And let me also say, As I sit down and I begin to wind up, that this great country of ours needs what we have to offer. You don't have any right to withhold the gifts, talents that you have acquired in service of this country and in service of humanity. This country is running on three wheels and it needs four. You're the fourth. Don't you dare say that Muslims are having a tough time, so that's my excuse for sitting on the bench. Muslims are having a tough time, so that's your reason for getting involved. Don't tolerate anybody standing on the sidelines, because sometimes it's just an excuse for being chicken. And other times it's an excuse for being bitter. Neither one are upholding the best values of our faith. Am I right? So inshallah, everybody will get involved. Assalamu alaikum.